Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
What is the idea? I don't understand.
Phil, well, you hear the song right here. This is called Welcome to the Machine by Pink Floyd.
Right.
What I'm doing with our new project, which is called Project Truth, you know the lyrics are Welcome, my son, welcome to the machine, and then I sing really what he's saying. In other words, not what the lyrics are, but what, here we go, what he's actually saying.
Not what the lyrics are.
But what his intention is behind the lyrics. And so I'll show you what I mean as we get into this.
All right, this is Pink Floyd's Welcome to the Machine, but you're going to be singing not the lyrics, but what his intention is.
Welcome, I'm British. Yes, I'm a British a-hole.
Okay, now...
I grew up next to an opera house, and so I've butchered up rock and roll!
Get the hell out of here! You know what I say to that?
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter? Broccoli!
How dare you! I
get out of here!
You refuse my sugar?
What a weirdo.
Now I took three-chord rock and roll and turned it into art crap. I'm depressed, 'cause I'm a limey.
There, you can't stop me from doing it, Phil. You can't stop me from...
Get out of here. By the way, speaking of the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter, the ratings for teachers...
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter... Broccoli.
You got it. A 2-1, baby. We couldn't hold the audience of scrubs if we were giving it away, man. And I think you know what I'm talking about. As in on a troop ship. Oh, my God. 2.1? Forget it, baby. Dead in the water. There's only one way that show will go on the air, and that's if NBC takes a look at it and says, you know what? The problems with the show are easily fixed. And they are. The show actually doesn't have problems that you can't fix like that. However, my experience has taught me that when they take a look at a show like that, what do we want to fool around with this thing, man, for, huh? Why would we want to fool around with this? When in point of fact...
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter... scrambled eggs.
You bought a guitar and you...
Get her. Get thee behind me, Satan. Yes, folks, the problems of teachers are easily fixed. Things can be done. Phone calls can be made. People can be consulted. But in the end...
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter...
Get out of here. All right, 1-800-449-8686. It sucks on wheels, brother. Sucks on wheels. We can't hold the audience. So it was a great experience, though, and I am going to articulate as we progress toward the final broadcast of the Phil Hendry Show, which is June the 23rd, the final broadcast. I'll be articulating my feelings for each and every one of our cast members, our producers, Matt and Bill, the people that directed our shows, everyone. I don't think that I think everybody worked their ass off. It's just hey, man, what are you going to do? All right, now, I want to tell you that as the last broadcast of this program will be coming up on June the 23rd, that's when the Phil Hendry Show is permanently retired, we are putting out a call to people who have been with us since the beginning, really, since 1960. Those of you in Ventura, California, and then those of you in Atlanta. And then we traversed the soil of America up to Minneapolis, and then down to Miami. And then out to Los Angeles. If you have recordings, full hours, half hours, or bits that you recorded, and you've got them somewhere stashed, we'd appreciate if you send us a copy. After all, we do own it. But no, we would appreciate a copy of anything you've got, particularly the early years, Ventura, Minneapolis, Atlanta, which we've got a very, very, we got some good stuff from, well, I wouldn't call it good, but we got stuff from not the guy that said it did something wrong, but just the material isn't all that strong. But we did got some stuff from the Ventura years, and we are missing some of the Steve Warnell stuff from Atlanta. And also in Minnesota, when we had Margaret on, she was Margaret from Edina. And she used to talk about how, you know, hockey kids were, she did all kinds of bits with hockey. So, and then, of course, any Miami stuff you got. And you can send it along MP3 to phs@philhendryshow.com, phs@philhendryshow.com. And that would be a solid thing. We also have our flashback coming up by request. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Last night, I was hosing off bird nests from the side of my house. If you heard me last year, the year before, and the year before, cliff swallows cling to the side of my house every April, like clockwork. These cliff swallows fly in from the just over the little mountain range there off the Pacific, and they head straight for my house. Why? I think it's because the house was built in a migratory, some kind of a migratory pattern or a migratory, whatever the hell they call it, a migratory highway of birds. And when the house was built, all of a sudden they go, oh, wow, here's a place. Boom. Now, what cliff swallows do is they build these mud nests on the sides. And it's a pretty amazing feat, these mud nests on the sides of cliffs and houses. But it's funky because it stinks the yard up with bird poo, and I hate them. So I got on my ladder, and I was hosing the beginning stages of the nests down. For those of you who are bird lovers or may want to charge me with a violation of the Protected Species Act, your mama too. No, I haven't killed any bird. I'm hosing the nest down so they don't get started, right? Now, I had a ladder. I went up the ladder about 3 or 4 steps because I have a fear of heights. I had the hose, and I fell off the bloody ladder as the water was coming down the steps of the ladder. I fell, bonked my head on the concrete, and I thought maybe I'd finally knock some sense into myself. No such luck, man. And I'll tell you, I said, you know what? Now I really hate you. Like Val Kilmer in Tombstone, it seems Mr. Ringo's an educated man. Now I really hate him. That was me with the cliff swallows. Now I really hate him. Falling on my rear end, busting my head open on the concrete, standing there with a hose in my hand, all in a heap, standing there with my hose in my hand, my shirt off. Anybody came around the corner, they'd think it was some kind of a weird freak bird man love violence scene. Mr. Henry, we're into birds. Good. So, you know, once again, doing battle with these bastards, and now they're costing me my health. Now, I don't think there's a North American Protected Bird Act out there that could keep me from hosing these babies down when I'm, like, bunking my head on the concrete. But the point is this. Every year, man, like clockwork. You think I'm kidding? The 15th of April, like tax day, here they come. Between the 15th and the 20th, all of a sudden, swirling around the backyard, these damn cliff swallows. And then around June, they cut out. Now, what we've learned is we turn the hose on them, and they finally get frustrated and they split. One year, though, we let them do it because my wife had this thing. Oh, I think it's neat. Isn't it lovely? Yeah, real lovely when a pool turns green from all the bird crap. It's lovely, all right. I'll never forget the day that I was sitting back out there, and it was the first year that these things showed up. And I'm sitting, and I was sitting there, and I looked at the green water in the pool from the bird crap, the bird dung streaming down the side of the house, and these big mud nests. There must have been 30 or 40 of them on the side of my house. And it was almost like one of those movies you see where the hero finally goes, all right, enough is enough. And I got up and I got the hose and I just destroyed. So this year will be no different, other than the fact that I'm going to get them before they really, you know, before I, you know, they do any damage to themselves. All right, our flashback is up by request. A little bit of email as the, you know, folks are checking in as our last day on the air approaches, the 23rd of June. And I was having lunch today in a restaurant where movie stars hang out, and I didn't see any. So that's my big news. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We have our flashback by request. This is from Chris J., and he writes, Phil, please play the bit from Robert Greene when he invented the 30-minute guarantee for delivery. I worked for Domino's Pizza, and that is just a great bit, especially the caller at the end who's telling the stories of dead delivery drivers running through railroad tracks. Well, here it is, Chris. This is from the 17th of February, 2005. Robert Greene and the 30-minute guarantee. You're the police officer, sir?
Right. Actually, I just retired. I got twice as much time on the job as this guy's got in business, 34 years.
Okay.
What I can tell you
Wait a minute. What's a cop got to do with what I do for a living?
Oh, buddy, I got everything to do. Just hang on and listen to my story for a second, if you can keep your mouth shut just for five seconds to begin.
Yeah, you're a cop,
first
all right.
First of all, what you've done, sir, on this program, and I want to thank you for it, is you've created a lawsuit waiting to happen. When, and I don't say if, but when one of your drivers, due to some unsafe driving tactics that he's been hammered into his head that he must do to get there, creates a traffic accident that causes one, two, or three of these deaths that you don't seem to be too concerned about.
You're very concerned about every life lost.
They're going to make somebody very, very rich. They are going to own whatever the company it is you own.
Well, that's why you're a cop. You don't know anything about the law. Now, see,
well, what is that supposed to mean? He knows about the law.
First of all, what you don't want to do is get into a debate with me about the law.
Well, the civil law.
The other thing is this.
And I would also say that my drivers are sworn.
Who is going to talk here?
All right, hold on, gentlemen. Just hold on for a minute, gentlemen. This is a police officer talking to. What do you mean about the law?
I mean civil law. I mean when it comes to going into a civil claims court, he's out of his league. Now,
all right, let the gentleman finish his comments, Mr. Greene, because we've given you almost an hour.
Okay, but if you want to sit here and, make me just sit here and have to bite a towel while these people beat me up.
No, go ahead.
Let me ask you something, sir. Have you heard of a company called Domino's Pizza?
Domino's Pizza?
Have you ever heard of Domino's Pizza? Have you ever heard of them, sir? Have you ever heard of Domino's Pizza? It's a simple question. Just a yes or no.
It's a pizza company. Is that correct?
Excuse me. I just asked for a yes or no answer. You want to know the law? Just pretend like I'm a lawyer. Yes or no, sir?
All right.
Have you heard of Domino's Pizza?
Well, you pretend like I'm Marilyn Monroe. I tell you what.
Answer the man's
yes
question.
No,
have you heard of Domino's Pizza?
Have I heard of Domino's Pizza? Is that his question?
Yes, sir. Okay,
I'm racking my brain.
All I'm saying.
You've never heard of Domino's. It seems weird.
Do you remember Domino's Pizza? Their famous thing was what? 30 minutes or less. Is that not correct?
You
don't know.
You're asking me. I don't know their company.
You don't know.
I came up with the 30 minute or less guarantee. I know that.
Excuse me, sir. You were way behind Domino's Pizza when it came up to 30 minutes or less.
This doesn't have Domino's Pizza.
Anyway. Sir, excuse me.
I wouldn't know Domino's Pizza from a boil on my rear end, okay? I came up with a 30 minutes or less guarantee.
All right, let me
tell you something. Domino's Pizza is a billion-dollar corporation, and yours is probably a $2 organization the way you run it. But what I'm trying to tell you is, sir, they were sued for exactly what you're doing, telling their drivers they must be there in 30 minutes or less. It costs them so much in litigation fees. Win or lose the litigation doesn't make any difference.
To see your source material on that.
The source material, sir, it's litigated law. You don't have to be a brain surgeon.
Did this make the news?
Excuse me?
Did this make the news?
Make the news? Please. You're kidding.
You've never heard of Domino's Pizza, Mr. Greene. Domino's Pizza is an enormous chain pizza delivery company, not unlike, the others. And they were sued, and they lost.
Well, how many pies were they delivering? Because I bet you we got them beat. How many pies do they do a day?
How many pies did they do a day? We're talking all over America.
All over. I cannot believe, sir, that you've not heard of Domino's Pizza.
I never heard of you either, so what difference does it make?
Okay. Let me just tell you one other thing. One of these pizza companies, and it was not Domino's Pizza, thank God, was in such a rush because there's a tremendous competition. When I was working acid investigation back in the early 70s...
I like this guy telling me the restaurant business. I just love it.
Will you let the man finish, please?
You know, you're about a rude individual, sir.
No, I just want to... Was it thin crust for Supreme
or what? I'm just trying to tell you something from my experience...
As a pizza delivery guy or as a cop?
As a police officer.
Boy, this guy is really
rude. Let me ask you a question. Are they the guys that do the four cheese? That's all I want to know. Are they the guys that do the four cheese? Because then I've heard of them, if they do the four cheese.
Who?
Domino's. Do they do the four cheese?
I don't know.
I don't eat pizza very much. Just listen to what I'm telling you. A pizza delivery, and it wasn't Domino's, but a pizza delivery kid that was trying to beat the Domino's 30-minute thing, because that's what Domino's kind of set the standard at that time. He ran across a railroad crossing through and tried to beat a red light.
I'd hire that kid.
Okay, fine. You don't have to hire him anymore, sir, because he burned up in his vehicle.
But you want
another
to
car.
Well,
excuse
then he,
me,
then
sir.
You know what? Then I wouldn't hire him because he couldn't.
Excuse me, sir. Let me explain something to you. Not only did this young man
die. The guys that do the breadsticks and the hot wings.
Will you let this guy finish?
Jesus. You know what? Not only did this young man die, three other people died in two other cars because this young man had to make his delivery as quickly as possible.
And you can't
now,
see where that young man, at least he burned with dignity.
Oh,
because,
my God.
All right.
You know,
look
sir,
at,
Paul,
I got a break. And
well, this guy, you know, if he wants to tell me about Winchell's, maybe I'll listen.
Oh, at least he burned with dignity because he tried to beat the 30-minute or less thing. If you guys want to tell me about Winchell's, now I'll talk to you. There's Robert Greene, and that is a special flashback request as we head toward the 11th hour, and finally it'll be the 12th hour. Of course, when it's the 12th hour, I won't be on the air. So the 23rd of June is our last broadcast. And as I guess the reason why I mention that is because as I listen to these bits, as I listen to and as we continue to perform the show, it suddenly dawns on me that I'm going to miss these people. It's weird because they're all from inside of my head, but I'm really going to miss them. I don't know what that is. It's like having 30 friends who suddenly are not there anymore, you know. But there are other opportunities, and there are other ways of presenting them, and that's what I'm actually at this very moment developing, and I'm not going to tell you what.
You're just going to have to wait and see if he hits the air or not.
One thing you won't be seeing is me and teachers next year. I don't know. Are you kidding me, man? I'm not so much of a schmuck I'm going to hold out hope on that, though. Forget it. There's only so much of that horse manure you can buy. I mean, look, I loved working on the show. I loved everybody, but ain't no way that show's coming back. It was a hell of a good run. And I liked our last episode Thursday night. What night's it on?
Tuesday.
Did you watch it?
No.
Why?
I thought it was on Thursday.
You thought it was on Thursday. Anyway, I liked that one on Tuesday night because I was the guy that had the last scene in the show.
Yeah, I saw that. Something was filling the screen. I said, oh, it's Phil.
What a jackball. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Just looking at the news, and then we'll check into some email. That's, what's the guy's name? Masawi? They said he's going to rot in prison. They are not going to stretch his neck. They ain't going to be dropping the pill on him. They're not going to be filling him full of the bad stuff. He is going to be rotting in prison. And why? Just because we're feeling generous. Well, that's cool. Look, if you're involved in a plot that, carved up 3,000 people, why should you get the death penalty? Oh, my God. Anyway, apparently that's where he's going to be going off to federal prison. So the guy's going to cook. Good for him. He's going to sit there in the joint. How long do you think that guy's going to stay alive? Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. There's a lot of Muslims in prison. Well, not that the Muslim folks themselves are bad, but it seems that, every brother that goes into prison suddenly gets religion, and it's the Muslim religion. Every cat that goes in it, it's black, comes out with the name Muhammad. You go in there as Freddy, you come out as Rashim. You go in there as Bert, you come out as Ahmed. You go in there as Harry, and you come out as Kwame. And a few white guys, too. I'd just like to be one white cat, man. They tell me that Islam is a religion. I mean, look, I'm not knocking a religion. It's a great religion. I mean, Christianity, they're all great. You know what I'm saying? But I would like to be one white Muslim, just one. Just one white cat with the name Muhammad Ahmed Rashim Aziz. Just one guy who's wearing like a button-down Brooks Brothers suit. And just, hi, I'm, what's your name? I'm Muhammad Ahmed Razmez Bazbuz Aziz. Uh-huh. With freckles and red hair. World-famous Phil Henry Show at our website, www.philhenryshow.com. If you're new to this show, good luck. We're going off the air on the 23rd. I've retired from the radio business proper. I can't put it any more clear than that. Thanks to Don Barrett. Very nice tribute on laradio.com. You're a gentleman, Don. Thank you. Scott Saban, thank you, brother, for a tribute on your blog, on your website. Some nice folks. Good business. Good people. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, what are the series? Are you on the Futon Critic?
Yes, I am. I'm looking at what the pilot orders are.
Now, pilot orders are the shows that NBC has ordered. They're pilots, but they want to see what the show looks like.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you should get Frank Gray.
He's Frank's asleep. You know, he's...
Yeah, I know what he is. He's been drinking. He's probably been drinking. All right, here's the... they got a lot of comedies. NBC ordered a comedy pilot called Twee. Twee?
Spell it.
It's the number 2 and the number 0.
20!
I can't see without... 20 good... Yeah. 20 good, yeah.
20 good, yeah? How you spell that?
Y-E-A-R-S.
20 good year. That's a comedy?
Yeah, it's a comedy. Then they're ordering another pilot. It's called Alpha Mom, and it stars Alexandra Lee.
How do you spell it?
L-E-E.
Lee.
Okay. And Johnny, get a load of this guy's name, Johnny Sneed. Johnny Sneed.
How do you spell it?
S-N-E-E-D.
Oh, it is Sneed.
That's what I said.
Well, I don't know, man. You can't pronounce Lee, Alexandra Lee. Then you got Twee is 20.
Just let me read the list here, okay? All right, so that's the Alpha Mom is another comedy. Andy Baba. And that's a comedy.
Andy Baba.
Yeah, Andy Baba P.I. And that stars Amy Fank. Funking.
Spell it.
F-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N.
Farrington.
All right.
What is Andy Baba spelled what?
B-A-R-K-E-R.
Barker.
All right. And,
does it ever occur to you how much you're butchering this?
I told you that the bifocals I ordered I had to send back to Sears because...
Wait a minute.
What?
Are you getting your glasses at Sears?
I've been doing it for 30 years.
Wait, are you going to an ophthalmologist or are you going to an optometrist?
Well, get a load of you with the $20 words. What are you talking about?
I'm asking you a question. Are you going to an ophthalmologist or an optometrist?
What's the difference? The
difference is one's a doctor and the other guy ain't.
Well, the guy I'm going to is a doctor.
They ain't got an ophthalmologist at Sears. They got an optometrist.
Go ahead. Why don't you spell that?
I don't know how to spell it, but I can tell you that guy's not a doctor. I got nothing against optometrists, but those guys can't prescribe. They don't know what's wrong with your eyes.
I've been going to Sears for, and I got my eyes. What are you telling me?
I'm telling you, you got to go to a doctor, man, to look at your freaking eyes. You might have glaucoma for all I know. Andy Baba.
Don't worry about it, huh? All right. Now, they're developing another comedy pilot, and this one's called Friday Night Lights. And
what's it about?
Well, it focuses on high school football and the Dillon Panthers.
That's from the movie. It's a drama.
Oh. Well, I thought it was. And here's a... This is a drama. And here's a drama. Okay, you want to know comedies. Alternative. Yeah, here's one called Bully. And it stars Josh Fleabag.
Josh Fleabag.
F-L-I-T-T-E-R.
Flitter.
All right. And it's about, there's been a famous child prodigy, I'm sorry, that's the name of the show, in history, but there has never been someone like 9-year-old Henry Tammer.
Spell it.
T-A-M-M-E-R.
Right.
He's a child Guinness.
Spell it.
G-E-N-I-U-S.
Genius.
With a knack.
Knack.
Okay. For intimidation. And that's all they say, so there you go.
Well, so they got some comedies in development.
Which means you guys are even closer to the edge. Yesterday, not knowing that NBC had comedies in development, I'd say you guys were at least napping near a cliff. Today, you've awakened, stretched, and you're walking, thinking that the bathroom is in that direction, and it's actually death on the rocks below.
Oh, man. Thanks for putting it that way.
Well, I'm just trying to give you the heads up on what I'm seeing here. And
well, I looked at the ratings. The ones that I got are not exact. It says a 2-1, but I don't know if that's the target demo.
Oh, who gives a sweet you-know-what, the target demo? Let me tell you something, friend.
I don't know what the target demo is. I saw what the other guys did, and they did a 2-3. We did a 2-1. I don't know what our target is.
I'll tell you what your target is. Your target is getting home alive tonight. You should make that your target. Every always challenging the CHP to it. The CPA, the CHP to it.
Oh, shut up. Yeah, see, so NBC's got plenty of stuff in the offing, man. They got comedies up the yin-yang. They got the whole thing. They don't need our show. See, I like to be fatalistic about this, thinking that God will feel pity for me and then actually pick the show up, but I know it's not true. I'm feeling fatalistic about this so I won't be disappointed when they say, oh, yeah, and by the way, teachers, on the R.C. Collins blows-o-meter, a cross between sharp cheddar cheese and a ham on rye. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, now I'll look a little bit of email from folks. I appreciate it very much. And then what I'd like to do, actually, I'll do it now because I've been telling myself that I wanted to do this before I left the air on June 23rd. And a lot of these names you won't know, but some of them you may. I thought about giving some background on each person, and maybe I will, maybe I won't, but I want to mention the names of people in the radio business that I either listen to, and when I listen to them as a kid, I would say, okay, I want to do that for a living. Or I would listen to them as an adult and say, this is why I'm in this business. And the reason why I'm mentioning their names is because, for the most part, you probably haven't heard of them. A lot of them were local here to Los Angeles. Like, I've heard a lot of people would say to me, did you listen to Bob and Ray? No, I grew up in L.A. I didn't grow up in New York. I heard them later through tapes, but I never heard them live. Or did you listen to Gene Shepard? No, I grew up out here, so I didn't. But the guys that I grew up listening to out here were pretty damn good. It was a whole maybe different kind of radio in Los Angeles. L.A. has always been a far, far more conservative place than people think it is. People think of L.A. as Hollywood. It's not Hollywood. Hollywood is just this little area where a lot of freaks live. But the rest of L.A. is pretty much like Omaha. I mean, in terms of the people are Midwesterners. And the town is very conservative in its tastes. Now, it has a high percentage of immigrants. Yes, you're right, from south of the border, Central America. But even those folks are fairly conservative in their tastes. If you drive by a working, like a place where Mexican nationals are working, folks that are immigrants to this country, you're going to hear a whole lot of ranchero music, man. You know what ranchero music is? It's like it's La Cucaracha, baby. That's what that is. It's a lot of cowboy hats and baseball caps. These are just very hardworking folks, working class folks, who are, they're into the Mexican version of country music is what they're into. You go down to Miami, man, yeah, you're hearing all that timbale stuff. You got that whole Carmen Miranda thing with somebody with a banana in her hat. But down here, it's cats with the little concertinas, those big, 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 huge guitars with only three strings on them. You know, what is that anyway? Is that a bass guitar? And very, very simple folks. But even through it all, I listened to some guys that made me want to be on the radio. And so I wanted to, tonight, mention some of their names. And I wanted to do that so that at least you'd hear them once. Just once, man. I mean, maybe you'll never hear these people again, but just once. So here it is. And kind of an homage to Roll Call with Samuel Jackson on Do the Right Thing. Go ahead, bud, play the music. Here are the great names from my life in radio. I was going to...
What are you looking at?
What the hell is this?
Go ahead.
The names... Yes.
What's wrong?
What the hell is this, man?
Are you going to do the roll call of the great names in radio or not?
Well, what am I doing at the Don't Fence Me In?
Yes! Perfect! I picked the music. Look at that. Oh, give me land, lots of land. Oh, man, you can't beat Der Bingle. Come on, Bud, start it again.
What?
Start it again.
I can't hear you.
Turn it down. Start it again.
He means start it again, as in don't turn it down and then...
Come on, I want to hear the names of the great ones in radio.
All right, let me start with Emperor Bud, Emperor...
What a tard. Hello, everybody, I'm a radio announcer.
All right, start it again.
Start it again, Bud. Start it again, Bud.
Can't hear you.
Turn it! Start it again, you... Boy, that's the last time I take your recommendation, Henry, and hire some guy with a recently installed plate in his head.
All right, we ready?
We're ready. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Go. Emperor Bob Hudson. The real Don Steele. Robert W. Morgan. Jesus.
Yeah, who else?
This isn't making it, man. It's just...
What's wrong with it? I'm loving this.
Will you get off of my phone and get that out of here?
Mr. Hall will be upset.
I don't care. I ain't doing it to don't fence me in. We gonna break? Let's break, and I'll come back clean and do this, you jackball. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Emperor Bob Hudson, Robert W. Morgan, the real Don Steele, Dick Biondi, Bill Slater, Don Hall, Zach Zanor, Gary Owens, the obscene Stephen Kleen, Dr. Demento, Bob Lacey, Steve Dahl, John Records Landecker, Frank Terry, Dave Hull, Casey Kasem. God, this is distracting as hell.
What time is his show on?
What a moron. Oh. What are these, squirrels or something? I don't understand. Are those humans?
Yeah, they're women.
Those aren't women. That sounds like chipmunks singing on a branch, on a tree. Howard Stern, Art Bell. I can't think of any more with this crap going on. Ah, yes. Now, Robert W. Moore, I'm just kidding. I can't. You know what I'm going to do? When I get the closer to the retirement date, as long as I can't listen to the Don't Fence Me In, I'll have a perfectly concise list of the people that meant a hell of a lot to me listening to the radio down through low these many years. All right. Now, I want to get into a little bit of email before I forget. Don't forget, baby, that the last show is on the 23rd, and so we have been asking if you'd like to download clips, do it now, man. But some guy writes from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. Hey, Phil, you recommended downloading the new added clips. How? I don't think they're set up to download. Only the 30-day archive. Well, I'm going to get with Doug and make sure that everything is downloadable, okay? He says, I'd love to have access to as much crap as possible in order to possibly pollute my kids and my kids' kids if necessary. Good point. I got 6 gigs left on my PC, and I want Vernon, Jay, and Chris Norton infecting every megabyte possible. Please. Derek, Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. Ministry of Truth. All right, dude, I'll try and do what I can, and all I have to do is say to Doug, you know what? You know when I said not to make all that stuff downloadable because everybody was bitching and moaning about the fact that there wasn't any music on it? Remember that? Now all of a sudden they want it? Best of the Year 2000 CD, writes John, will there be one? No. Kyle in Kansas City writes, where did Vernon come from? Please explain this crazy freaking nutcase. I think he's my father. My old man acts just like Vernon does. It's weird. Actually, dude, you and I share a common inspiration. My dad is a big part of Vernon Dozier. Huge. Just like Bobby Dooley is my mom. Because he has this anger that is really funny. And my, like I said, when my dad got mad, it was really, really funny. Says, Bruce, I just bought the last 5 years' best of CDs and donated some bucks to my friend's place, but was wondering if you might be planning any full-length, full-hour CDs of programs. If it's not even remotely possible, I'd better start downloading what I can like a crazed towel head. Please advise if you'll be so kind. Bruce, no, I'm not planning none of that stuff. So just start downloading. Hey, Phil, why do you feel so strong against having your website up for longer than you'd like? I'd like to have the website up for longer, absolutely. But I've got to delineate exactly who owns this material. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. Is it Clear Channel? I don't think it's Clear Channel's after I'm done here, man. I personally think it would be obscene not to have the rights to this material after I leave. Obscene. Anyway, so last night, you want to hear, I said a prayer last night. And you know who I prayed to? I prayed to the ghost of my dead mother. And here was the prayer. I said, Mom, you weren't much of a mother in life. How about being one now that you're dead? If you've got any pull over there on the other side, across the River Styx, can you see to it that NBC picks up teachers? And then I started feeling really creepy because I was like talking to a ghost, and I thought my mother would come like spiriting into the room with her robe flapping open.